Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. Wow, I've got a fantastic story for you. He's an amazing entrepreneur. He's actually my neighbor here in UK. And he's going to share a very specific story today where, you know, a lot of people I know in the world have a passion, right? Have a passion, but they don't really know that you can actually make a business out of that passion and profit from it and, you know, how to take it online. So I know I've had a couple of questions coming from email as well, so I'm going to be addressing them. But I want to welcome Kavit Harrier from UK. Thank you so much, Kavit, for joining us on the I Have a Dream Show today.
Yeah, thank you. This is really interesting. Thanks for having me.
Right, Kavit, not only are you going to share your dream with us at the end of the show, but you're going to take us through your journey. I mean, I don't know much about your background, but if you can kind of take us through exactly what point did you become an entrepreneur? Have you been an employee? Did you go the normal route of getting a job and just kind of working 40 hours a week and, you know, work for your pension? How did that break happen? What happened? How did you become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that. So that's not me, but I started to learn how to play the tabla, which is an Indian drum. And that journey started about 17 years ago. And so while I was playing this instrument, I had ideas of how else I wanted to share this music. And so that led to various different other opportunities that I wanted to create. So playing that with different kinds of instruments, playing that with not playing an Indian instrument with Indian music, but playing an Indian instrument with different kinds of music, like pop or jazz or blues or Latin music.
I see.
And so in around 2002, 2003, right, I started to look for ways how I could do that. And I went onto these various different music forums online, and I would basically sit down and search for musicians that in and around where I was living that would want to collaborate and try different things. I met with two or three different people, I remember, but yes, Nobody wanted to commit to a process of making new styles of music without getting paid. And musicians essentially only make money when they get paid, right, to perform. If you don't perform, or you don't have a CD that's selling, or you're not in some sort of royalty scheme with your music, you're never going to make money. Right. And so all these musicians, I was asking them to play with me, but there was no guarantee that they would get a gig or they would get any recording or anything like that. So it was a really tough time to do that. And not long after that, I was also going to university, and I studied genetics at university, so nothing to do with
nothing
to do with what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But I spent 3 years, and within that time when I was at university also, I figured out a few key things that I'd learned from a music mentor online about how to actually get out and share my music and how to find the people to work with and how to get recording opportunities and things like that. So I realized at that time, however, that the one most important thing that anybody needs to know to create some kind of success in their field, whether it's music or it's anything else, is marketing. And it's amazing because music is an art. Writing, dancing, creative writing, script writing, any of these kind of things are art.
Yes.
And the people in the art world have a complete different sense of how they make money. And they believe that I just want to do my art, and I don't want to do anything else, and I just want to make great music, or I want to just paint great pieces, or I want to write great books, and I don't really want to focus on the business side of things or the marketing side of things.
Got it, right.
And unfortunately, you're never going to make money like that. You have to have the marketing hat. You have to say, what do I need to do to really focus and get my knowledge or my expertise to the world? Because if I don't begin to do that, sitting at home, doing what I do best, nobody's ever going to come and find me. No one's going to knock on the door for me unless I start to put the feelers out. So marketing is really important. And I learned a lot about marketing, so much so that it got me to find gigs where I was playing Indian music with all this other kind of music. I would do that in different parts of the country. So I would be at university, and then in the evenings, I would just basically travel a huge amount to go and practice and play.
Right.
And I did that constantly week after week for several months. I then got invited by different groups of people that I was playing with to do small recording pieces on different albums, which I did. And I even got to play at different festivals where once I played with Paul McCartney, another time I played at the Royal Albert Hall with Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. So I got all these other cool things that happened. Uh-huh. And I realized that after that, people were asking, what was I doing to get more exposure with my marketing? And what was I doing to get more exposure with my music in order to get more gigs? So all this information, I slowly then moved into this business, essentially. So in 2005, I launched InsiderMusicBusiness.com, and I took that on a 4 or 5 year journey, essentially just initially selling 5 different ebooks where I wrote down exactly what I did to get a gig. I wrote down exactly what I did to get exposure on MySpace at the time, and I built a massive MySpace list. And I wrote down essentially what I did to actually find these musicians and collaborate and work together. So I was now in the business somehow of teaching musicians how to get more exposure, how to get more gigs, all by just sitting down and writing on Word my ideas. So I did all of those bits, and I started selling each one for $20. And within a few weeks of promoting it, having it on my site, I was now making $80 to $90 a day. So that's about £60 here in the UK just selling these books. I'd written them once, the money was coming in, and that was it.
Right. I know there's a lot to cover, Kevin, and I know that your story is amazing. But in that time, so around 2003, we're saying, right, that you started your online search, yeah? When you started going on. So tell me, what was the world like when you started online? When you typed in, you know, how to get exposure or whatever you typed in into Google, what did you get? What was your first experience of online marketing? What are people to expect? Like, how is it different now? What was it different? But how do you kind of handle the information overload? That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah, I guess I've always been good at that. And I think it's a big thing that stops a lot of people, the idea of information overload. There's so many opportunities today that never existed back then.
Yes.
I had to learn how to write HTML, CSS, code a website from scratch, all those different things that today you don't have to do.
Yeah.
You have great tools like WordPress and Lead Pages and so many other ones like them that you could just very quickly in 10 minutes get a complete website looking really well, you know, in the world. So from that perspective, the technology is fantastic today. There's so many amazing things up and running that you don't have to do that back then. But the one thing that unfortunately has followed is that there are now gazillions of newsletters that are available for anyone to subscribe to.
Yes.
And everybody keeps subscribing. And it is the one biggest thing that robs you of your time because you get email after email after email. And I use a tool called Sanebox, sanebox.com, which is fantastic. You just join Sanebox for free. They have 2 weeks for a trial. I think everybody should check it out. And you start to train your email to go into different folders.
Got it, right.
So you're filtering your email in different folders with this very smart technology. And your inbox then just has 2 or 3 emails a day that is critical for you to learn about. And then your personal emails from friends and family.
Got it.
That's how my inbox works. And then the rest of it just goes into different boxes. One is for later, one is for news, one is literally called a black hole where I put stuff in there that I never want to receive again because for some reason I try to unsubscribe and it never happens. Somehow I still have my email address.
Yes.
So
no, your email is deadly. You know, it could either destroy you or it can actually make you, because, you know, I mean, email, subscribing to other people's marketing is good in a way if you want to analyze and you know what you're doing, you know, so you can actually learn how they do it. But yeah, you need to have clarity, Kavit. You know, I'm big on clarity. You know, how did you get what you want? What is it that you wanted? I mean, you've got this passion, you know how to play an incredible instrument, and you're bringing it into the West, you know, that there's a, obviously it's very new. How did you like get clear on exactly what is it that I want and how do I get it out there?
It wasn't very easy to start with, especially because I didn't know that I was getting into business. I just thought I was sharing information with musicians. I set up a site just to be an information site. And then, you know, from ebooks, it went into CDs and DVDs, and then it went to coaching programs and membership sites and workshops and seminars and this entire catalog of products over 5 years, where we built this massive database of 120,000 musicians, just serving them globally. And it was great because it turned six figures time after time. But I didn't know I was doing that. It just sort of happened at that time.
Right.
When I look back and reflect, because I ended that process in 2009, and since 2011 till today, I'm running a service called Automated Business System, which basically helps people who have ideas get very clear about their idea for business, mm-hmm. and then we help them strategize their idea. Then we help them put together a very clear business model on their pricing, positioning, product, marketing strategy, and then we launch it for them. So we actually build their business for them. So in 2 months, they have a complete business up and running on the web, and then we help them market for 10 months. Until they get to £100,000 in sales or $100,000 in sales in the first year.
Right.
Now, doing that for 3 years, what I've learned about clarity is that if you don't have clarity, you don't have confidence.
Yes.
And when you lack confidence, there's literally no way you can make your business succeed. There's no way.
Exactly.
Clarity and confidence go hand in hand. You get clarity by thinking about why am I doing what I'm doing and what is the purpose behind it? What is the purpose of me running this business, like in my life, in the bigger picture? Otherwise, I'm just a guy with a computer screen and a team of people. What's the point? Yeah, I could be doing something else. So you have to know that. And then you have to know very clearly the transformation that you bring to people's world. Whatever service you offer, whether you're offering a service that is a cleaning service, or you offer a service that could be a little bit more complex, like a business strategy service or a marketing service or a design or makeup service, whatever it is that you do, you have to know very clearly what the transformation is.
Got it. Yeah.
Because that allows you to understand for yourself the clarity, but it also allows you to market the clarity to the people that are going to buy from you.
Do you mean by transformation the vision of where the outcome?
So, there's a point A and then there's a point B. Now, point A is the current reality. It's really good that we're going into this. Point A is the current reality, which is here's exactly where this person is in their life. Point B is the ideal reality, which is where they want to be. And your transformation helps them go from A to B.
A to B, yeah.
If you know exactly what it is that you offer to help somebody take the steps, I'm not saying it's a jump or a leap, I'm saying it's a step-by-step process, but if you know what that step-by-step process is, to take somebody from A, their current reality, to B, their ideal reality, you have a very good business idea that could develop into something amazing. A 6-7-figure, 8-figure business that you could develop very simply because you know the transformation. And it's a case of, well, how do I get it out there? So what you do, how you do it, and why you do it, three critical things to help you get clarity.
Of course, as
I said, clarity, the more clarity you get, the more confidence you get. And then it works the other way in that the more confidence you get, the more you can dive deeper and figure out even more about your life, about your purpose, about where you're going, about why you're starting a business. And that gets you even more clarity.
Excellent.
And I'm gonna just throw in one more C and pop over.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
That is, I have this 3C thing, which is that if you get clarity and confidence together, that gives you certainty.
Love that.
Anybody that gets certainty is at a place in their heart and in their life that whatever business they want to start, they'll make it work.
That's absolutely fabulous. Now, do you know what? I could elaborate on this, but I've got so much to cover with you, Kavit. You know, there's so much to talk about in the 40 minutes or so that we have. But Kavit, so as a business owner, we tend to go like get distracted, especially as online marketers, right? At the beginning, I don't know how it was for you, but for me, it was like distraction everywhere, you know, from one shiny object to the other. This one's working, that marketing strategy, this one. So I noticed with clarity, obviously, you become very certain about what it is that you want, and you learn to say no, but also, excuse me, define those high productive activities in the day, you know, that you need to be doing consistently to create a momentum. So how did you define what your highest productive activities that give the biggest value were?
Yeah, so I think that every business has two types of, this is a great question. I think every business has two types of activities. They have the value activities and then they have the functional activities.
Yes.
The functional activities are those tasks that could be that don't necessarily need to be done by you, and they can be done by somebody else, but they don't directly produce value. So picking up the phone, responding to phone messages, doing email marketing, mail shots, blogging, answering questions, all those kind of things, website updates, you know, reaching people. Value-based activities, however, are things that provide direct value to people and their lives change immediately. So it could be writing an email that goes out to 10,000 people. It could be writing a blog post and then sharing that blog post. It could be doing a consulting session. It could be doing a speaking event or a podcast recording or a show like this.
Yes.
So any of these things produce direct value to somebody. And I always sit down and think about, well, I've got a new project to start and I've got all these different tasks in there. Which ones are directly producing value and which ones are not? And the ones that are not, I then bring a team and say, which one of you can really help me maximize this and do it better than I can, and then give it to them. And I focus on the stuff that I have to do that produces the results, the value. Now, there's another way to look at that, which I also have, and that is what I call IGA versus non-IGA. Now, an IGA is basically an income-generating activity. And a non-IGA is essentially an activity that doesn't produce income, so a non-IGA.
Yes.
Now, every business owner should sit down and make a list, make a table, and on the left hand, right, IGA, and on the right hand, right, non-IGA. And ask yourself, basically, what are the things that I'm doing in my business? Or what are the things that I need to do in my business? And then put them down into the table on either side. So things that produce money and that are directly producing money go in the first column. And things that don't directly produce money, they may be a part of it, but they just don't directly produce income, they go in the second column. And then the business owner's job, not the manager, not the technician, but the business owner's job is to do everything in the first and outsource or build a team to do everything in the second. Because as a true business owner, you shouldn't be doing any of the second column like activities. No email management, no phone calls, no calendar management, no booking in dates with clients, no doing any of that. Outsourcing everything. And the only thing the business owner does is doing what produces money. Because that's what they're good at. That's what they're really, really good at. And then ultimately, of course, the ideal heaven is to be able to outsource that as well.
Exactly. That's absolutely wonderfully explained, Kevin. Now, one of my friends, I promised her that I'll actually do this kind of case study on the show very quickly. If I could just quickly share a screen, she's designing. We're going to talk through this as a case study, Kevin, right? So she's designing candles, the hand drawn candles for the Indian market, so the weddings.
And fantastic.
Very, very good. Can I show you a picture so the audience can see exactly what she's doing, right?
Absolutely.
And then we can just talk about exactly what we can do for her as a quick suggestion. So can everyone see my screen here?
Yep.
See my screen. Guys, can you see my screen? That's fabulous. Meerkat people, let me know if you can see my screen. There you go. So that's her candle, okay? So that's her candle. She hand does these, okay? Customize them, hand draw. And they're really good. You know, she actually did one for my friend's wedding and they were absolutely fabulous. Now she's got a limited, you know, I mean, it's word of mouth. She's got clients, you know, obviously one wedding, they talk about her and then she gets another client through that.
Yeah.
But now she wants to build a proper online business. She wants to hit like 10K a month, you know.
And congratulations.
So I thought, Kevin, let's talk about this. I thought it would be a nice kind of case study to talk about. What's the first thing she should do?
Yeah, so the first thing you have to understand is that every business has a skeleton.
Yes.
And the skeleton is the skeleton of a sales funnel. If you do not build a business around the skeleton, you really don't have a business. You have a job.
Yes.
And the difference between a business and a job is that a business starts to put things in process and then starts to automate those bits so that things are happening without you having to be there.
Right, got it.
Every business has to have this process. Now, this client of you, or this friend of yours, and every other client or the friend that I know that wants to build a business, they have these four different elements of the skeleton in place, but they don't have them automated and talking to each other.
Right.
Or they don't have somebody else doing them for them.
Yes, yes.
So it's really important that everybody understands these four elements, but it's more important that they start to think about, well, how do I do that in my business and how do I automate that? So the first element of the skeleton, and there are four elements, the first one is called lead generation.
Got it.
Lead generation is all about bringing people to your front end, your website, your stall, your exhibition stand, your shop, your office, whatever it is, lead generation. Then you have lead capture. And lead capture is basically as soon as somebody lands in front of you, first of all, it's taken a huge amount of work to get the right person in front of you. So lead capture says, even if they buy and even if they don't buy, I want to get their information.
Right.
Because the fact that they've landed in front of me means that they're of significance. And when something is significant enough to potentially be of transformational value, so you can provide transformation to them or you can change their life, again, with the candle or whatever it is, then you make, you know, candles will ultimately bring happiness and wow and a bit of joy to somebody's life in that way. So you know you can do that with that person. You have to capture their information, whether they buy or not. So it could be, you know, if it's at an exhibition, the easiest idea we see all the time is drop a business card into a goldfish bowl.
Right.
Or it could be online. Here's a sample of how we make our candles. Watch this great video. To watch this exclusive video, put in your email address. Here are three tips on how to do makeup really well. Put in your email address and you'll get three little videos.
That's a big habit. So here, there's two elements to a business, right? First, you can get clients to create the candles for, but then also she can actually teach other people how to do candles. So there's kind of two models that she's working with. And I think a lot of people get confused with that because they're different kind of communication that's needed.
Yeah, one of my clients is Veronica Dorn. She's from the UK. She used to be a sales manager for Comet.
Right.
Comet basically sells electronic items. And she quit her job, which was in the corporate world essentially, and ultimately started her own passion business about watercolor painting. So again, it's art, watercolor painting, which is basically, she would sit there with an easel, she would paint something beautiful and she would sell that. So she was also selling art. She then flipped her business to a second avenue, which is essentially teaching it as a course.
Right.
Now what she's got is a video series that she sells for about £100 and four video trainings that people can watch, go through, download, purchase, go through the entire thing, learn how to do art, and she's got it built automatically on the web. So all she has to do is send people to her site, they get captured, they go through the second and third and fourth stages of the skeleton, essentially, and she has an income.
Right.
She's basically making £14,000 a month just selling this.
Just selling this.
So she has an automated business set up.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead. So let's jump in, is basically lead capture is the second thing. You have to capture their information, whether they buy or not.
Yes.
So, you know, as the candle lady, I would have a beautiful website that showcases my candle. There might be a video to say, here's how we make our candles and how you could begin to, or here's some inspiration catalog about candles. Put in your email address to download our free catalog and you could see some of the great inspirational things we've done for other people. And people give all of that stuff away for free. And there's nothing wrong with giving it away for free on your website. But if you put it together into a PDF and make it into a little downloadable book, you can ask for somebody's email address.
That's value.
Start doing a newsletter.
It's creating value for someone in exchange for email address. Right.
Exactly.
So Kevin, the thing is, with internet marketing, I think when people start, the reason why people fail, in my research and talking to a lot of people and actually working with people, is that they don't understand there's a lot of processes involved and skills to learn. So I know there's a lot of tools and softwares available to help you build the capture page. You know, you've got email marketing softwares to help you capture and communicate with your list, etc. But then you've got copywriting, which is a skill. You've got headlines and, you know, content creation, what to say on the videos, and, you know, these do require some sort of skill level. And do you think it's better to learn it and go through the process of staying strong and just doing it, or do you think it's important to hire people to do it?
I'll answer that for you. I have a great answer for that. Yeah. Before I answer that, do you want to jump in and cover the four elements of this? Of the
yeah, please.
Topic?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. We just jumped ahead, but yeah, yeah.
That's okay. So I just because we started it, I thought for completion's sake, let's talk about it.
Go for it.
So lead generation, lead capture, and then the third and the fourth is lead nurturing and lead conversion.
Right, got it.
Yeah. Every business needs to have these four things.
Yes.
The moment you capture somebody's information, you then do the third stage, which is lead nurture, which is a series of emails automated, sent regularly, that builds a relationship that gets them to the point where they are ready to buy. Because not everybody's ready to buy in the first instance. So this lady could run a course, she could sell the product, she could sell different varieties, she could sell a live workshop, she could sell webinars, she could sell all kinds of things about candle making. Yeah. But not everybody's ready to buy right away. So once you capture their information, you then have all the follow-up emails. And then on stage four is conversion, where you sit down and say, okay, you're ready to buy, let's sell it to you. Whether that's sales pages and then you have the copywriting, or it's a video you have to create and you're teaching on the video, or it's a show like this, whatever it is, you convert them from person who's interested to person who's bought.
Right.
Every business needs to have these four elements. If you have these four elements and then you build something in each of these four stages, then and then you automate it, you have what I call an automated business system, which is also the name of our service, Automated Business System.
Yes.
So Automated Business System is essentially aiming to build you a business that's 80% automated. Lead capture is set up. Your website is set up. The copy, design, development, all these things are done and set up. Lead nurturing is done. Lead conversion is done. All a business owner has to focus on is getting people to the site, the lead generation.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I think that
it folds in
important,
nice, doesn't it?
It's important to learn to learn some of these skills. I think the most important skill anybody should learn is how to write copy, especially how to write email copy, because you can write website copy, but you generally only have to do that once. But emails you have to write on a regular basis. And email is generally where all your money is made, because the more emails you send, the more you connect with people, the more they buy. That's where money is made. Your leads will come from email. It's an online business. So email copy is probably the one most important skill to learn. The rest, if you want to be a business owner and you want to really build a business build a business that you can run from anywhere in the world online, it gives you all the time in the world that you want. It gives you all the money freedom that you might want, and ultimately gives you the lifestyle freedom you want. You shouldn't learn all the skills because you don't need to.
Because
if you think about it, as a business owner, your time is extremely valuable.
Yes.
Your time, the price of per hour that you could earn is a lot more than somebody who would basically, you could pay £20 an hour to do web development. So is it worth you putting in 2-3 months of time to learn web development, or is it better to hire and pay for time for that to be done when in that time you could be doing something else? So that's how we've built our service. Our service is basically where the most important thing as a business owner is for you to sit down and create your model, your pricing, your plan, and to give you clarity and confidence and certainty about that. And that's what we'll do together. But then we'll tell you that actually, we don't want you to build a business. We'll build it for you.
Right.
We've got the team of people that will do it. We've got the designers, the developers, the copywriters, the technicians, everybody that knows what they're doing. They're the experts. So why learn it when they can do it? So let them do it. And then you come back and say, okay, now I've got my business up and running. Let me put my business owner hat and start marketing. Let me put my business owner hat and start building a team. Let me put my business owner hat and take it to £100,000 or dollars in the first year.
Right, got it. Excellent. So when you started your business, Kavit, obviously you saw a need for it. So the type of people that you work with, what specifically were their pains and frustrations? Just so people on the show, if they are starting up, what to expect and how we can actually save them a few months of headache. What are the pain and frustration they come to you with?
I think that there are definitely pains and frustrations, but there are also excuses.
Right.
An excuse is, I don't have enough time to start a business.
Yes, yes.
I don't have enough money to start a business. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough contact. I don't have a good enough idea. I'm not technical enough. All those are excuses, because if you really want to start a business, you'll start a business. If you know why. If you know why you want to do it. I feel like I'm hearing myself. I don't know if
I can.
Perfect. And then the other thing is that in terms of pain and frustrations, the most pain that people have is my idea good enough? Is what I have as an idea or a project good enough for me to start a business online? And the reason they have that is because they don't have enough clarity. And the only way to get clarity is to ask the right questions. If you ask questions that are good enough, you get great answers. If you ask poor questions, you get poor answers. And so to be able to ask those questions is really important, and to know those questions. And that happens through a session where you sit down with somebody who's different from your business, who's not attached to your idea, and who really gives you the right questions and answers. And again, that's what we do. And so some of the questions are, why exactly do you want to build this idea? Who exactly will this idea help? How exactly will it help them? How will you move them from that A to B? And when you get really clear about this, you build that confidence, as we spoke about earlier.
That's absolutely fantastic, Habit. I mean, you know, clarity is just the most important step. And, you know, I'm launching my book in this, actually, Clear. You know, how to be clear in your business, because no matter how great your idea is, if you're not clear about what it is that you want, and, you know, how much even what you're worth per hour, you know, people don't even understand their worth, you know, and they don't understand how to build it around that. So that's fantastic. So we've got a question coming in. Are we okay to take a couple of questions from the audience?
Absolutely.
Right. So we've got Claire coming in from Italy. Thank you, Claire, for joining the I Have a Dream show today. She said video marketing is huge. I'm actually using video marketing in my business right now. But I'm not very good at email marketing. Do I need to combine the two, or shall I just carry on focusing on one area?
Email marketing and what?
And video marketing. She's doing video marketing at the moment, but should she combine, you know, long email as well with that, yeah, or yeah. Should she combine her video marketing with email mailing as well?
Yeah, so video marketing means a lot of different things. It could be having a blog that you create a video for and you release that every week, or it could be creating just a set of videos, 5 to 10 videos that you then specifically push and promote, or it could be a regular thing where you're filming a specific sequence that happens once a month. You have to figure out what your video marketing strategy is, but I think the one thing you can't get away from is email marketing. And I've seen drastic changes in terms of money earned from people that email and from people that don't email. And everybody that has an audience, that has a business that is starting up, has to build an email list and has to email out. And I email every single day because I know that doing it daily makes more money than doing it weekly. And I also tell people that I'm going to mail daily. So if they know, if they join our database, they know that they will receive daily emails. So they become used to it. I would also bring them together by featuring the videos in the emails. So
yes,
the video into the email and link it out. Because creating video is content, but writing email is distribution. And every business needs content and it needs distribution. You can't just create content and hope that people will see it. Nobody's going to see it if you don't distribute it. And so that's how you have to think about the two of them.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that, Kevin. Okay, network marketing question. I have got an audience of network marketers. And we've got Ryan here. Thank you very much, Ryan, for tuning into the I Have a Dream show. His question is, I have a network marketing business selling health products. How do I stand out amongst the this is a very common question I get. How do I stand out amongst other distributors of the same company? So it's like you're under a brand, but you have to create your own kind of brand and your own message and your own kind of, you know, business inside a business, you know. So how what would you advise Ryan?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, because I have a network marketing client. We have a few that are part of our automated business system community, and they are also a couple of them in the health niche. But the answer to this question is really the million-dollar sweet spot, and that is that you have to differentiate yourself, because, you know, a company who's a network marketing brand is going to give you their paperwork, their flyers, their products, their the same website that they've given to 100,000 people otherwise. So the answer is to create your own sales website. The answer is to create your own sales funnel. Again, go through by creating, think about lead generation, think about lead capture. How can you get people to your site and capture them so they can want to join your team? How do you write a nurturing email sequence that goes to those people that is different from anything that the health company gives you? But you write your own sequence as you building a relationship personally. You've built your personal brand around that. and then you convert them by asking them to fill out a form or sell the product. In general, in most cases, network marketing has two things. You buy the product and you sell the team. And somebody who wants to build a really big network marketing business has to build their own team, their downline.
Yes, yes.
So you need to focus on the nurturing and converting people into that process by building your own sales funnel, your own website, your own brand. Forget about the company. And then go back to the company, of course, because you have to field the sales through them, but create it separately. So it stands out. It looks different. You build your own business. It doesn't look like a copycat of, 10,000 others that all have the same website. And the people that make the most money already do this in network marketing. And this is the only way to do it, I think.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Having your own platform. So in case, you never know, the company goes down under or anything like that, you're not just kind of left in the air. You can kind of build you've created your own following, you've created your own name, you've created your own brand, and you can take it forward. So absolutely remarkable. Thank you, Kavit. Okay, so before I take any more questions on, Kavit, how did you create a following? So obviously these people are coming from the unknown to the known. Internet marketing is like that, right? You're bringing the unknown. You don't know who's viewing your website. You're bringing them to the known, and from what I gather is obviously by collecting emails and probably sending out surveys. But how do you get them to communicate back with you? Because they're getting so many other messages. How do you get them to form how do you create a tribe, like-minded people online where they can communicate amongst each others and create leaders amongst them as well?
Yeah. The first thing is, if you think about religion, and this is drawing on a line, but why do people feel like, if those that are religious feel like they're in that community? It's because they have this sense of belonging, and building a tribe, even if in tribal areas, whether it's in Africa or in Asia or in the forest somewhere, the whole reason the tribe exists is because there's a sense of belonging within a community. So belonging, therefore, is something that also should be created in business, especially if you're building a tribe. And there are several things that you need to do. You need to just figure out and make a list of what are the things that are your values. So what are the values you want to inject into your business? Because a religion is built around values as well. So why not a business? So what are the values that you have in your business that you want to inject into your community, into the people that you work with, and into the customers that you have? So everyone has that passion, that freedom, whatever it is that they're looking for. And then you write really good emails. You write really good content, you create really good video, and you have that energy come through, you have that enthusiasm come through, you have those values show up in what you're doing. And as soon as you do that, people start to take notice, people start to find it useful. And then the other thing is that when you're writing emails, they don't all have to be educational, they can be entertaining as well. Because the moment you start sending a lot of educational emails out, email after email that's purely educational, you think, as a business owner, that somebody's going to find it really useful. But what you end up doing is you train your subscribers to think about just getting free content all the time. But when you start showing entertaining emails, pictures of your holiday, or images of a show that you've been to, a story that you're working on, some great client news, some great team news, when you start to share all of that as well, what happens is people start to want to attract to your drama, if you like. That's why people get hooked to something like 24, or people get hooked to Breaking Bad, or in the UK we have EastEnders, and people get hooked to EastEnders because they're drama stories. You're not learning anything by watching them. You're just getting entertainment value that's hooking you. That's why video is also really good if you can create that entertainment value. So your business has to have a mix of, first of all, you need to know your values and you need to create a sense of belonging so that your community can be nurtured in a safe environment. And then you have to have 20% education, 80% entertainment, and keep people hooked. Just like every email should say what's coming up in the next email or what they might know about in the fifth email. So your emails have to be sequenced, just like a series of shows.
Storytelling, yeah? Storytelling.
Right. Actually, if there's a skill that any business owner needs to learn, it's storytelling.
Love that.
There's a fantastic book called, what's it called? Tell to Win,
yeah?
By Peter Bloomer. He used to be CEO at Sony and music and stuff like that, and he talks really well about how to write great story in business. Tell to Win. I think everybody should get and read that.
Right, Cabot, that's absolutely fantastic. Now, I know if some people, like, the theory goes over their head, so I've chosen a case study for our show today, and I'm just going to show the people again. It's a candle, guys. One of my friends, she creates this candle, and she hand draws it. You know, it's customized for Indian weddings, okay? So this is a case study we're talking about here. So, Cabot, talking about building a tribe, yeah, and core values and things. So she, if I tell you a little bit about her, she's a mum, you know, she comes in a very traditional family, and she works from home. She understands that, you know, a foundation should be created at home and, you know, have a secure environment for the children, etc. So those things are very important to her. So how could she transcend that into her business and create a tribe around that? So would she be targeting other mothers, and is that how it works?
It depends who your target audience is. So if the people that are going to buy the candles are generally female, then first of all, she starts designing her site, her brand, her logo, her identity, her feelings as targeted to women. Right. And then if they're mothers, then targeted to mothers. If they're a specific ethnicity, then targeted to a specific ethnicity. But what I think is really important is that she tells her story. She talks about her life. She talks about the way she would, and not because she's in business, so she speaks a different way, but exactly the way she would speak. I'm getting a sense that the person I'm seeing here as host Princess Fizz is who you are. I don't think you're, you know, I haven't known you for long, but I don't think that this is not how you wouldn't be like this differently. This is just who you are all the time. Yes. I want that to come through, because that's why you build an audience. That's how you do it. And so that person needs to do that as well. And just be yourself and share the things that matter to you. And it's okay to create divide. So if you like religion, for example, you talk about religion, you don't shy away from it just because, you know, some people in your audience won't like it. You build a cult following by just talking about the things that matter. And even saying things to make people wonder whether you're right or not. Creating debate and indifference is really, really good in business for having that.
I love that. And I think being a mother, she's already gone through the marriage and everything. So she can actually teach newlyweds how to kind of, you know, handle in-laws, you know, all this Indian stuff that comes on. She can build a tribe to educate them on that as well, just through her candle business. So it's quite remarkable, isn't it, marketing how
it works. Absolutely.
It's amazing how you can actually be so creative in different ways and provide value and create a community of people. It's exciting stuff. So, that's brilliant. So, so Cabot, I mean, we're coming to the end of the show now, and the aim of the show is the mission statement here is to create, you know, for viewers to create one change, okay, that they can actually apply to their personal and their business life that are transcended generations. I mean, they've picked up so much already, but if someone asked you that, Cabot, on the street, you know, what is that one thing that people need to do that will change their personal and business life that are transcended generations? What would you say?
You have to figure out your vision. It's really as simple as that. You know, that keeps you hooked to your mission for the rest of your life. It builds a legacy. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, tomorrow you could wake up and just be bored in life. And so many people fall into depression because of that boredom. And I've been there too. I know exactly what it's about. And the moment you figure out a vision and you stay hooked to that, you stay compelled to that. You wake up every day and you realize why it is that you're doing what you're doing. You won't even need to do that. You just wake up alive because you are so connected to your dream. And that is what the show is about. So you have to sit down and figure that out. Figure out, and it takes some time to sit down and say, what do I really want to do in life? You can't just answer that in one sentence. You know, if you answer that in one sentence in one sitting, I think that it's not deep enough.
It's not deep enough.
So, it's a hard task, but those that do it ultimately go on to be very successful.
And do you think people are made for a particular work?
Do I think people are made for a particular work? I think everybody, if they figure out what they're passionate about, has enough energy to do anything. But I do believe that there are some people that don't know how to think entrepreneur style, or they don't know how to think as a business owner. In some cases, some of that can be learned, but you still need to have the innate values, I think, that allow you to say, I'm a leader and I know how to drive something. If you're not somebody who's a driver, first practice how to be a driver. Otherwise, in business, I think that you'll be pushed and pulled and not know where to concentrate your focus. And the most important skill for a business owner is focus.
Excellent, because we are, I mean, the people come to a stage where they're made up of other people, aren't they? Other people's ideas, they kind of forget what they're about, you know, who they are. And I think as children, we know that. We just kind of have an idea and just go for it.
All strength, right, exactly.
You know, so I think it's getting back to that state, isn't it? Getting back to that state as you were as children. Do you know what, Kelvin? That was like one of the best answers I've had on the Zoom show. The vision, I love that. It's absolutely fantastic. And the last question, as you are on the I Have a Dream show, what is your dream, Kevin?
Yeah, my dream is that the world can be a better place. And the world should be a better place for us, for our generation right now, and for future generations. But the people that can really make those differences are not politicians. They're not specifically activists. They're entrepreneurs. That's why I wake up every day and help somebody figure out what their business idea is and what their business model is. And I've built a team that helps you build your business.
Right.
Because here's the thing. As an entrepreneur, as a visionary, as a leader, as a dreamer, you can create change by helping your customers with your product, by helping your team be a part of that vision. And by you helping your customers and your team, you help all of the families as well. And if you count the number of people that could be, it's essentially millions, but it's a small society. And imagine if we had lots and lots of entrepreneurs all doing that in their small societies. The world would change. The world would change. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
I love that. It's absolutely fantastic. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in. You've been absolutely brilliant. Sorry for the questions that I haven't been able to attend, but if you email me them through, I'm sure that we'll get them to Kevin to answer. And you know, but Kevin, is there I know I haven't kind of arranged anything beforehand, but is there any kind of special offer we can have for the Dream Show to connect with you? Or
I'm not asking anybody to buy anything, but what I would like to encourage is for you to go to my website first of all. First thing to do is go to the website. There's two things. www.insiderinternetsuccess.com.
Yes.
insiderinternetsuccess.com. And on the homepage, you can download for free a book about specific case studies of people that have gone through and figured out an idea, created a business process, and made $100,000 or pounds in their first year.
Right.
And you'll see the exact process they've gone through. I don't know if I can show my screen here, but
yeah, of course, Kevin.
How do I do that?
You share it. Hold on. What is the website? I'll do that for you. Hold on.
Yes, so go to insiderinternetsuccess.com.
Okay, let's have a look. Okay, why? Insiderinternetsuccess.com. Hold on, makeup peeps. And now I'm going all over the place. insiderinternetsuccess.com. Right.
So. Perfect.
Okay, I'm just going to share the screen, guys, right? 1 second. There we are. Okay, can you see the screen? Yes.
Right, so you can either put in your email address there and press submit, or if you come down on the page, you'll see this panel there at the top, sorry, that says show me the case studies. Again, if you click show me the case studies, you'll be able to go there and put in your email address and download this book. And this book is literally 9 packed case studies, step by step, of people that have made this work.
Right, okay.
So feel free to do that. The second thing is if you just go back there, what I'd like to do is offer 10 for free, 30-minute business strategy business startup call.
Right.
So if you go to work with, if you click on select date, time, and confirm now at the bottom there in the big green box, that's it.
Okay, select, here we are, yes.
Yep. So if you just click select date, time, and now, you'll go to my calendar and you can just pick there. We have a startup coach who will basically walk you through step by step your idea, refine your idea, and then help you create a business model. So you can see in 12 months how this could be a business that makes £100,000. Or $100,000, depending on where you are in the world. But we can help you wherever you are, and we'll have that 30-minute call for free for 10 people, the 10 first people that go in and do that. Pick a date, I've actually opened that now for 10 slots, and you can just go in and select the date and time, and we'll have a call. And there's no obligation to purchase anything or work with us. Just have a call with a business coach for free and see if it helps.
Have a chat. Right. So this can be for existing network marketers. It could be for existing owners or new people or anything, anyone. Yeah.
Yeah. The three types of people that we work with are people that already have a business, uh-huh. but they want to build an online section to that business.
Right.
The second step is an existing business owner that wants to start a completely new online-only business.
Right.
And the third is an existing, is somebody who just wants to start a business online, but they're currently in a job.
Excellent. That's absolutely fantastic. And that's for you guys, special for the dream chasers of this show. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Those on Meerkat, thank you so much. Wow, guys, you know, we've given you so much information here today, you know, bringing you an inspiring story and so many business strategies and marketing strategies that you can take away. And I'll connect with Kavit. I know some of them, the questions that I've had are about tools and softwares that can help people in their businesses. So I'll connect with Kavit and try and get a list together of what he uses. But yeah. make sure that you connect with Kavit on the website and book that call. You know, what have you got to lose? You know, just go for it and find out where you are and how Kavit can actually help you. Looking at his case studies, you know, it's obviously helped with so many people as well. So it's a recommended resource. So wonderful, guys. You know, dream big, take massive action. You know, carry out that vision, stay strong, so one day I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. We've got amazing Elena Cardone, which is the wife of Grant Cardone, and she'll be sharing exactly how you can actually stay, like, keep your you know, speech well and be a good salesperson as well. So you don't have to kind of swear and everything to be good sales. So she'll be talking about how to be eloquent with your language and be strong with sales as well. So tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. UK, and I look forward to sharing the show with you. Take care, guys. Have a fabulous day. Thank you.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show, and don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show, and leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode, and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.